Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
A Dear Media original podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Wine Face, where we're breaking down everything the experts know about wine in a fun, digestible, and accessible way, because wine is for enjoying and wine is for everyone. I'm your host, Helen Johannesson from Helen's Wines in beautiful Los Angeles, California. And I don't know, maybe you've heard this around the old water cooler, or maybe your friends are doing it, or feel like it's kind of in the vibe of the scene of life right now to either stop drinking caffeine or specifically no coffee, no Joe January. I mean, I saw that as a huge campaign. Well, that's not what today is about exactly, but I'm so lucky to have one of the most creative, ultimate connector person people in my world that I know, who has started one of the best matcha companies I've ever encountered. The matcha is literally insane. Rocky Shu has started Rocky's Matcha, and he's taking us on a deep dive of what does it mean to be matcha? What is matcha? But also, what are the benefits of drinking matcha? What also does terroir have to do with matcha? And then we slightly interplay that to wine. He's a creative thinker and leader in the zeitgeist of everything that's happening that's cool. But I can't really get into that because today it's really just about the matcha. Terroir of matcha, who knew? So I hope you enjoy this. Rocky is part of the John and Vinny's Helen's fam, and I am so excited that he came on today to talk about his new matcha. Hope you enjoy it. Okay, so Rocky, thank you so much for being here on Wine Face.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I just watched you shake a second matcha. We're about to have, what was the first matcha I have in my glass?
The first matcha is it's a blend, but it's from this region. It's from the Yame region in Fukuoka in Japan. And it's a little bit nuttier and earthier in terms of just like the taste, but that's what we actually have at the CAA Kitchen. Shout out to the CAA Kitchen.
Sorry, public, you cannot go. You got to get a job at CAA or be represented. And then, yeah.
Or you can go take a meeting there.
Yeah, just take a meeting.
Yeah, so that's the matcha that we serve at CAA Kitchen, as well as Community Goods.
Which we
stopped by on the way over here. And we are hoping to be able to offer it in this sort of packaging soon.
Cylindrical, like tin.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm mistaken, but when you said like where this first matcha is from, matcha is similar to wine in that it has appellations. Like there's rules in Japan about where it's from, how it, could you break that down for everyone? Like what is matcha?
So
no pressure.
So matcha is when you break it down and you look at the two characters. So I'm Chinese, and matcha, if you, you know, go back and like do the research, it did originate in China, but it's obviously been perfected by the Japanese, like a lot of other things. And, you know, the story goes, there was somebody from Japan who was in China studying Buddhism like thousands of years ago that mm-hmm. then was like, oh, this is a great, you know, thing. We're going to take it back. We're going to enhance it. And it's kind of become adopted and celebrated, you know, within Japanese culture. And all it is, going back to the Chinese part of it, why I started there is, if you look at the two characters in Chinese, it means, so the first one is mo, which mm-hmm. means like ground, or like, you know, you're breaking it down. And then the second part is cha, which is tea. So that's what matcha is essentially. It comes from the same plant as black tea or sencha, or, you know, other, it's the Camellia sinensis plant. I'm going to butcher
that. You got technical. But impressive.
It comes from that. And then it's just the way in which it's grown, and then obviously broken down in terms of how it's processed after it's harvested, that makes
like
it
a deprivation of light, and only specific leaves are picked.
Exactly.
It's like highly selective and rare.
Yeah. So it's shade grown, and the only other Japanese tea that I know that's shade grown is Gyokoro. But with matcha, again, you're drinking the actual tea leaves, because they've been ground up into these, you know, micro particles or ions, or, you know, whatever the right scientific word is for it. And
magical
you're
powder.
Then whisking it. Yeah, it's in powder form, and then you're whisking it, or in our case, we're shaking it because we don't have a whisk right now. But yeah.
That's we don't have a tea kettle in studio. Next time, round two.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. So, and then as far as an appellation, each of these appellations would have a different concept of terroir as it pertains to matcha.
Yeah.
What does that mean in terms of matcha? Like, is it similar to wine?
I mean, the whole genesis of me even starting this matcha company or matcha brand was because I stopped drinking coffee. I went and saw a shaman in Topanga.
Stop, really?
The shaman told me to stop drinking coffee. And then...
Did you like trip with the shaman?
I didn't trip, but we did some energy work.
Okay, so you like went to another place.
Yeah, but I mean, I was very...
You were sober.
I was sober.
Energy work can be really powerful.
And he put me on a... This was at the peak of the pandemic. So like July 2020, I went and saw the shaman.
Oh my God. I want
to
go.
Yeah, I'm down to give you, you know,
I would love that.
His information. And at the end of it, he was like, hey, I'm going to put you on this 21-day chakra cleanse, this, that, and the third. I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. And, you know, I'm getting ready to get up and leave. And he goes, he had told me, he was like, hey, no alcohol, no sex, no tobacco, no drugs, no this, no that. I was like, no problem. Like, literally, we're at home, like not doing anything.
21 days, yeah.
And I was like, no problem. And I'm getting up and getting ready to leave. And he like just kind of like stopped me for a second. He was like, hey, do you drink coffee? And I was like, yeah, I have 2-3 cups a day. Like, you know, I love like coffee in the morning, coffee in the afternoon, sometimes like even like an espresso after dinner.
Yeah.
Like just to, you know, as like a digestive, right? And he was like, yeah, I'm going to need you to stop. And I was just like, what? I was like, you know, it didn't register with me. I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, yeah, you got to stop. And I was like, for like 21 days or for like
stop
what
forever.
And he was like, no, stop forever. And like I was like, why? And he just kind of broke it down for me. He was like, look, the caffeine and coffee has a tendency to get you too high and too low. He's like, you just, you know, like want you to be a little bit more even keel.
It like spikes cortisol or something, or
I don't know the exact thing behind it, but I think I didn't even realize at the time, but I was getting like anxiety and like
That's
jitters
what
everybody
and says.
You know, and there's a lot of like everybody now who like is like, hey, you're starting this matcha brand, like that's so on trend, or you know, you're ahead of the curve. I know so many people that stop drinking coffee, this and that. I'm like, well, that's cool, that's great. Like, I don't necessarily, I'm not saying like stop drinking coffee. I'm just saying for some people, you know, it doesn't work, and for other people, it does. Like, but if matcha works for you, then you know, we're here to offer.
I think in this current state, people don't realize how anxious they are.
Yeah.
Until they realize how anxious they were. When you cut something out, dude, the shaman will probably be like, stop drinking wine. I'll be like,
No. I feel like wine is your calling. So
yeah, I mean, me as among hopefully many things, but wow, that's amazing. So you entered this trip based on like sort of a health exploration or a centering.
Yeah.
And then did you just try like Were you not satisfied with the matcha on the market? And is that what led you to make your own?
Essentially, yes. I think what it was is when I started drinking tea, because he was like, hey, look, if you want your caffeine fix, just switch over to tea. And this goes back to wine. I started kind of like going down the rabbit hole of figuring out like what teas I like. My dad's a big sort of like Chinese tea guy, like jasmine, pu'er, you know, oolong, all that sort of stuff.
Pu'er. Yeah. So smoky. So good.
And I think started sort of experimenting with different teas. And then I discovered matcha and like this sort of like ritual of making it at home every day. But then what I quickly realized was like, even, you know, the matcha that you can get at Whole Foods or Erewhon or wherever, it's still got this like astringency and kind of like bitterness to it. And I was just like, there's got to be better out there. And so when I was in New York during the pandemic, I went to this spot, this tea sort of specialty restaurant, purveyor, whatever, distributor, called Kettle. And I realized that they have like an amazing selection of matcha teas as well as other Japanese teas. And then it was upon like discovering that I'd like continue to just go down this rabbit hole of matcha. And then I was like, well, I'm introducing this sort of like ritual into my day. And then through it, I kind of like discovered as I was doing more research, there's a lot of similarities or parallels to the coffee world as well as the wine world in terms of just, again, going back to your original question, the terroirs and like how it's grown and, you know, like how the soil and like the different sort of
the essence of the place.
Yes.
Also, yeah.
It all affects it. And, you know, and I think hopefully we get to a point at some point where like I would say 95% of the, maybe even more, 99% of the matcha that's consumed globally comes from Japan, because that's where people just, you know, expect it to come from. But in reality, again, all it is that all matcha is that it's shade grown and it's processed a certain way where you're getting, you know, these sort of micro particles that are then whisked into the tea. So theoretically you could grow it elsewhere. They just might not have all the different tools and
Topanga matcha.
Yeah.
I feel like Topanga, we're full circle Topanga, with the shaman.
Topanga matcha.
Topanga matcha. So then there must be a hierarchy, right? Because you brought three different kinds of matcha.
Yes.
Like in wine, there's vineyards that are good. There's vineyards that are shitty. There's soil that's bad. There's soil that's amazing. It's part of what makes wine also expensive is like if it's rare or if that vineyard is so dope, like the alignment of everything.
Yep.
The first one you mixed for me was a blend. So then the second one must be a step up.
The second one, yes. So the second one is a single cultivar. It's the...
Which would be like a single vineyard in wine.
Exactly.
It's all coming from one spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's kind of like when you ask, you know, to have me bring a bottle of wine, because I'm not the wine expert by any means. And I was at the shop and I was talking to, you know, the person that was helping me. I was like, okay, like, can you, you know, break it down for me? And we started talking about all the different wines, and I'd done my research and I was told that where green tea grows best in alluvial soil.
Oh,
and then so I asked her to kind of like help me maybe find something that is also grown in alluvial soil so that there's some parallels there. And upon further research, you know, the regions are Burgundy, Southern Rome, and Rioja.
Yes.
And so this one's from Burgundy. And then there's two on the shelf. One which was a blend. And then the other one which was from the single plot of land.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, kind of like a single origin.
Yeah.
And she was like, yes. And I was like, perfect. That's exactly what we're going to try and get.
So Rocky and I didn't talk about this at all before. But I also brought a Burgundy.
Okay.
Because of very similar reasons, the alluvial soil was one, because I was like, what does green tea grow? Like, what is the deal? How can I connect it even more with wine? So I brought a Pinot Noir. We're going to open these in a sec. I want to get back to it.
Yeah.
But I also brought one that's like super rare. I don't know. There's something about matcha to me that like really good matcha is not available.
It's not.
And it is now through your matcha.
Yeah.
And then I joked and kind of with you that I brought this one too, because it's like elusive and you can't find much about it. And that's totally you as well. Like in the best possible way, you just seem like the ultimate connector of many things. So
thank you.
That's so cool.
I'll take it.
Yeah. ultimate connector. Okay. So the second one is from like one specific area, one plot of land. I'm going to open
cultivar.
Your wine first
so
we can like cultivar to cultivar.
Yes.
I love that. I love that word also, cultivar.
Yeah. I didn't even know what it meant at first. And then, you know, again, like you do your research and you kind of figure it out and you learn along the way.
You brought producer. It's Dominique Durain's old vineyards that she gave to this guy, Julien Altaber. And dude, he's one of my favorites. I visited him and I don't speak French and he doesn't speak English. So it was like a trip. But he is like one of the most progressive thinkers in Burgundy, which is like classically very traditional.
Yes.
And the two wines we brought are sort of this next generation that are pushing the elements of terroir even further through like organic farming. Is like organic play into the growing of matcha? Like what's
up with that? There are organic matchas out there. I think, you know, there's a lot of new farms that are popping up that are, you know, offering organic matchas. The ones here today are not necessarily organic.
And that's okay. Yeah. I don't know if it means the same thing as, you know, I'm not sure. Because I doubt that, I feel like a tea plant is more sturdy than a vine. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. We're like, hey, can someone call a gardener? No, I'm just kidding. Vines are like really finicky and like, okay, precious in a way, and then really strong, but like they're reactive, which is why like soil health is so important.
Yes.
So even if you're not like certified organic, like this wine is not certified organic, neither is this one. You won't find it anywhere, but like the farming is best practice. So it's
technically, it is.
Which I'm sure is similar with tea.
And I was also going to say, I mean, a lot of, and I'm sure it's probably the same in Japan as it is in, you know, Burgundy or any other part of the world that's growing, you know, wine or tea or what have you, is that a lot of the smaller producers, they don't necessarily have the means to go get the licenses or, and it's not that they don't.
It's expensive.
It's expensive,
pay
right?
The taxes, like, yeah, everything.
And it's not that they don't want to. It's just like they would rather focus on the craft as opposed to, you know, getting something that's signed off on, but you don't necessarily, it might not be, you know, the soil's not great or,
exactly,
the way in which they go about things, they're still taking shortcuts, but they meet the qualifications for that permit or what license or whatever it is.
Can I ask you, this is such a weird question maybe, but like, what do you think of a place like Cha Cha Matcha? Where I never go there, but like they really capitalize. Is that a weird question? I don't know. I'm just like, I kind of was like, whatever. It's sort of like Whispering Angel to me when it comes to wine. Like, do you look at it that way?
I'm friendly with those guys. And look, at the end of the day, I think it's one of those things where like rising tides raise all ships.
I believe
that. And, you know, they were definitely early in terms of just even like normalizing or sort of like spreading the, you know, gospel around matcha and the health benefits and this and that.
Yeah.
I'm a bit more traditional. Like I got like friends around me that are really successful in business have kind of said to me, they're like, hey, you should think about serving your matcha with agave or sugar or this or that. And I'm just like, no, like I don't, you know.
You don't
and so
see
I've
that.
I've had to come around to it, especially now that I've done some of these pop-ups and, you know, like,
you've come around to the agave.
I've come around the agave, and you know, I mean, look, most of the time I'm drinking my matcha just matcha with water, but even like matcha lattes, I understand that's the bulk of the consumer that's drinking.
I feel like maybe this exists, but someone needs to figure out how to take like dates and make it into an agave type syrup, because then it's not sugar. I know agave isn't either, but like dates is such a pure form if you're getting into like health and what are the health benefits of matcha?
So there's a lot that, you know, is, I guess you could say, floating around the internet. And I don't know, I don't know if there's actually been enough research on matcha or, you know, green tea. But from what I understand and what I've read, there's a lot of amino acids in it. So in terms of, you know, general like weight loss or like helping with your metabolism, there's L-theanine, which is the main, you know, like sort of benefit in terms of why matcha or green tea specifically is different than coffee in terms of just balancing out the caffeine, so that, you know, with coffee, it's kind of like you peak and then you just kind of come down. Whereas, you know, with green tea and specifically matcha, you kind of go up and then you have this sort of effect where it just evens you out. And that's from the L-theanine, which—
That's amazing. Ever since seeing you a few weeks ago, I've thought more about— I only drink one coffee a day. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm a like one cappuccino in the morning. But I have thought a lot about
matcha.
About moving to matcha. Okay. I'm like, should I even, I was like, maybe I should try it. I don't know.
I mean.
Because again, I'm like, what if I'm more anxious and stressed and I don't even know it? because it's the coffee. Like, my job is, you know, my life is a little busy, but restaurants, you know.
Totally get it.
We're up. We're down.
We're up. Yeah, we're always up, right?
This matcha is really delicious. I really, really.
Thank you.
I appreciate that there is no sweetener in it. Because I think the sugar, when I have it in matcha, is masking what it actually tastes like.
Well, that's, yeah. And I think that's the sort of like, again, going back to where and why I started this. Like, if you have matcha at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or, you know, some of these places, they literally, the powder itself is already like, you know, granular sugar mixed into it. So you can't even taste. It just looks green.
It's already been engineered.
Yeah.
Which is what I say about like natural wine or awesome wine versus mass produced wine. It's like you taste the insincerity of it, like right off the bat.
Yeah.
It's just a formula. It's like a chicken nugget. It's gotta like, this is how you do it and never change. And that's why people are addicted to it, because they like consistency. I don't know. People need more variety. I love this second one. The finish is awesome. It has like a real wide sort of nutty creaminess at the very end.
Yeah. See, and no bitterness, which, yeah.
But matcha kind of has minerality, which probably is that alluvial soil.
Yes.
Poured. Should we taste it? I don't think we're tasting with the matcha, but like kind of dope. We're tasting the Dorain, the wine you brought, which is such a good choice. I'm super stoked. I love Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir and matcha. Maybe it's a future sort of something. I don't know. So classically, this is from one single plot, Le Rio. And the style that Julien Altaubert makes his wines and his partner, Carol, is super unfiltered, very untouched, purest of the pure. It's definitely like a high-toned expression of Pinot Noir fruit. It's really good. I really like it. It's hard.
It's
gorgeous. Thank you for bringing this.
Of course.
I love that we weirdly had the same thought when we were like, wine and matcha. What kind of wine do you drink like normally? What's your favorite?
I'll be honest. I don't really drink all that much. And so that's why like when I was tasked with bringing a bottle, I had to do my research. I got to shout out my guy, Andrew at Tuomi in New York
because
I was having dinner there the week before. I think we were originally supposed to tape this. And then I was like, hey, I need a favor, because he's owner and also the somm there. And I was like, look, I'm going on this podcast. We're going to talk about wine. I don't want to sound like an idiot. Can you help me out? And then he was like, well, give me a little bit more. And then I told him about like matcha, green tea, me, this, that. And he was like, all right, let me do some research. So he did some research, and then he came back and he was like, all right, alluvial soil. This is where it's grown. This is what you know. And then I took that. I put in a note. Then I went to, you know, the wine shop today, and I didn't want to go to yours because I didn't want to bring something
high
that
tides,
you already,
man.
You know.
High tides. Yeah. I think and the same way.
And so, then it was at the wine shop where she gave me this recommendation.
Love that.
Yeah.
This wine isn't even on display. I pulled it out of the back room.
Wow.
Which like is, I know like my wine director is going to be like, hey, do you know who sold that bottle? I'll be like, yeah, I sold it to myself. So what's the third type of matcha you make? You made me two. I like the single cultivar.
So yes.
Single origin. I'm like obsessed with
The third one that I brought is another single cultivar. So it's just a different cultivar.
Different part of Japan.
Same producer as the other single cultivar. It's this producer, Tsuji-san, who is fifth generation tea producer. He's won awards in Japan. He's produced for the Japanese imperial family. He's a guy similar to, you know, the wine producer that we were just talking about,
Julien,
where he doesn't speak any English.
Oh yeah, no.
So I went, and then, you know, I went with my buddy John from Ghetto Gastro.
Oh my God, I love John. Yeah. John's been on this podcast.
Shout out to John. And John and I were there. We went together, and you know, John, as he likes to equate things to, you know, the a certain world, he was like, we were really on our Frank Lucas shit and, you know, doing like hand to hand and, you know, trying to like meeting the connect. And, you know, we met Tsuji-san. And so he offers four different single cultivars. Here we have two of them. The first one is the one that we sort of like brought over in partnership with Awake New York, which is this clothing brand that just opened a retail store in the Lower East Side. We have a matcha bar inside of the retail store.
I'm going to go. I'm going to New York
next
week.
Please.
Okay, cool.
62 Orchard Street.
Oh my gosh. Perfect.
And right up the street from so many great restaurants. Servos.
Love Servos.
Contra, Wild Air.
Yeah.
They're all right. Nine Orchard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're all right there.
That room is gorgeous, yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
Nine Orchard.
So, yeah, going back to the matcha, it's just a different cultivar.
That's so cool. Yeah. So where do you, like, what, I mean, this is, you do other stuff in business. Where do you see Rocky's Matcha? Like, where do you want it to go? You see matcha everywhere?
Million dollar question.
Yeah.
Hopefully billion dollar question.
Yeah.
You know, right now I still have a day job that kind of like keeps me busy.
It's your passion.
Yeah.
Have you, and do you want to go every year? Like, what's that process like getting the matcha here?
It's pretty easy now where, you know, they ship UPS. So we get an air shipped in once a month.
Yeah.
I would like to go. So they harvest in May, anywhere between April and June. So I would like to go. I just missed it this year, but I would like to go at some point, like when they harvest so that I can see it. And I mean, this year timing just didn't work. But yeah, I mean, when we went to Uji the first time back in September, you know, Tsuji-san took us to the factory in which they're actually milling the matcha. And you walk into this room, you have to like, first you put on these like hazmat suits.
Oh my God.
And then you, I can show you the video after, but you put on these hazmat suits and then you walk into a room where it kind of like sucks all the air and particles off of you. And then you walk into another room where they have like the mills that are going, there's like 200 of these things that are just milling matcha. And it's crazy because you would think that like, you know, something that's been this commoditized, like you can make a lot, but in actuality, one machine can only mill about 50 grams of matcha per
hour.
No
way.
So it's not, it's a lot, you know, as long as they're running all these machines and there's multiple factories in or around.
So it's like a lesser matcha diluted in some way or have filler?
The lesser matchas are usually matchas from a later harvest.
Got it.
So
it's not the
first harvest.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not the first growth because that's where usually first harvest, more nutrients. It's the cream of the crop.
Energy is concentrated
all that.
There.
And then also lesser matcha. It's again, it's more of a blend. They're just kind of aggregating, you know, what they can to fill, you know, whatever the quantities are. And then sometimes, you know, it's also got sugar or other sort of like things mixed into it. So
Starbucks. Yeah. It's a shame. When I was pregnant, I drank matcha. And not a lot, but I switched to matcha.
Okay.
And I really liked it. And
from, so, you know, where?
I don't, I got one from like Arrow. I tried the best I could. I think like maybe I asked Rare Tea Sellers to send me one. They're cool.
Yeah.
You ever in Chicago?
I've heard of them, but I'm not like super familiar. But
they're like a cool, they have like tea from everywhere. Here, we can try this, the other wine I brought. Here, I'm going to dump out.
This one, I feel like I got to be, I gotta be like ready for it. This is such a treat.
No, I mean, look, like wine, it's all about the conversation you have, right? So obviously, like the color right away is super different. Leori, they label it as Corto Bourguignon Poulain. It's also from like one single parcel. They're doing a slightly different, like this is gonna taste totally different. It's from a different part of Burgundy. It has a little bit of stem inclusion when they crush the grapes, which is going to give like more texture, more tannins, and like a little bit more of a green essence. But what I love about this is this wine really picks up the minerality.
Yeah.
That is so crucial in Burgundy, that alluvial energy.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really good.
Super good. It's like got like a little sweetness to it almost. A
little bit of like more giving fruit than the Duran, but so pretty dry. They both have this beautiful like through line of acidity. It's kind of what I love about Burgundy. It's probably my favorite place for wine. And they're both really low in alcohol. I think this one's 11.5%. People are like, how can I feel better drinking wine? I'm like, just drink low alcohol wine. It's
and
awesome.
With natural wine, typically it is.
It's
right,
typically lower alcohol because they're not over ripening the grapes. And so the grapes don't have as much sugar, which higher sugar content is going to convert it into higher alcohol, which is a style, you know, for certain parts of Italy. And it used to be a style in Napa. I think a lot of winemakers are trying to like steer away from it. I can't get down with a 15, 16% alcohol wine because it honestly is just way too much. Like
you're
so much sugar. I can feel it. It's like too much. Yeah. The next day or even in that moment. This is so beautiful.
Yeah, this is definitely a treat.
Oh my gosh. We got to do like a trip where we take people to Burgundy and then we get on a plane and go to Japan and like
down.
It's like a matcha burgundy, like the best of the best.
Somebody,
you know?
Somebody at Amex or, you know, whoever can probably
American
help
Express.
That.
I know. Cut to like you. I mean, you must be like popping up making matchas everywhere.
Yeah.
This summer, is there anywhere like people can
so
go?
Like this shameless plug.
Yes. This is.
So we have the matcha at CAA Kitchen. We have the matcha at Community Goods here in West Hollywood. In New York, we have it at Awake New York. But then I'm going to take this show on the road, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And we are doing a pop-up at my favorite cafe in Paris, Dreamin' Man.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Amazing.
Yeah. So working with Yui Chiro and his team, and my friend Yue did the invite/graphic. So it's super playful. I'm really looking forward to it. That's going to be next Sunday, the 25th of June.
Gosh, everyone get your tickets to Paris.
And then end of July, I've been talking to Brianne and and the team at John and Vinny's. And, you know, we are working on a matcha soft serve and a matcha ice cream.
By the way, my favorite flavor of ice cream. It's like
really?
A matcha. So good. Like, so it's what I grew up on. Like,
well, we gotta like send you home with the cartons or, you know, whatever.
Base.
Yeah.
End of July. They'll hear about it. I'm excited. We're all making sure we're in town for it.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, there was two weekends in play and Vinny and I couldn't be there on one. And we were like, no, this other weekend.
I think it's July, the weekend.
29th.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited about that. We are still figuring out exact details, but I think that's going to be such a ball. And, you know, John and Vinny's literally feels like home away from home. And you guys have always been so hospitable.
I feel like you're part of our family. Like,
I feel like I'm part of the family.
In such a real way. Like, we have people who've just literally are embedded in our culture. And we love that about you, especially.
Well, I mean, the location on Fairfax literally feels like I'm walking into my like living room, or, you know, it's like the managers over the course of the years have changed and this and that. But no matter what, like, walk in there and everybody's just got a smile on their face and they're like, hey, we'll take care of you, this and that.
Thank
and
they,
you guys always send stuff over. And
it's a mutual love. It's
thank
a mutual.
You.
I wish the restaurant was slow enough for us to make matcha. Maybe in Beverly Hills we could do
Maybe.
Beverly Hills would be the spot just to actually do matcha drinks.
Yeah.
Because we don't serve it now because I wouldn't want to like cheapen the execution of it.
Understood.
But I feel like Beverly Hills could work because we have the wine bar there. There's like a person.
I mean,
we're going to explore this.
We're ready. And then, well, let's see what, you know, what happens end of July and then.
July 29th.
Yeah.
Everybody
come. Take it from there.
We're going to be eating matcha. Ah. So excited. Okay, so if people want to buy your matcha, can they follow you on Instagram or
website? Yeah, so on Instagram, Rocky's Matcha. And then we're actually shooting some content for TikTok.
Oh.
So we'll have Rocky's Matcha on TikTok pretty soon. And then rockysmatcha.com.
I love it.
Yeah.
So cool. Rocky, thank you
so much.
So much for taking the time
to
come and for shaking me fresh iced matchas. It's like,
Literally
from the person, from the guy.
Thanks for
having
me.
Thank you so much.
No, of course.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To everyone drinking matcha in the future. Bye, coffee. No. I mean, don't you all just want to have a matcha? He left me with two of the single cultivar matchas. And I'm so excited because I think I'm going to just skip coffee for a week and just try matcha. And then I'll let you all know how it goes. Like, next time we chat and check in, I might not be drinking coffee. I don't even drink that much coffee. But Rocky's an amazing person, one of the nicest people I know, so kind and generous and so passionate. And that's what I really connect to is he is 100% invested intellectually and spiritually into Rocky's matcha. I wasn't just saying it was delicious. It really is. If you want to try it and you're in LA, we do sell it at Cookbook Market. You can find it in Highland Park or in Echo Park. And I think you should check it out. As per usual, if you want to see what I'm up to, you can go to @HelensWines on Instagram or helenswines.com, where we have a super lovely curated selection of our favorite bottles from the shop. We also have a wine club and we send gifts nationwide. That's right. You can send a gift to anybody you want, maybe with matcha at some point in the future. There's an idea. I'm going to be working on that. All right, everyone. Thank you. Bye.